Hello, beautiful ladies. Welcome to another episode of Thyroid Strong Podcast. If this is your first time here, buckle up, because we don't do boring health advice around here. I'm Dr. Emily Kybird, and today we are kicking off our summer survival series with Hashimoto's. So for all my Hashi ladies who are about to navigate the hottest months of the year without completely tanking your thyroid, that is a goal. Let me paint a picture for you. 7 a.m., maybe it's already like 90 degrees. Your fitness tracker, maybe it's your Apple Watch or your Oura Ring, is glaring at you because you've barely hit 1,000 steps. Does this sound familiar? And you're shooting for 8 to 10,000. Or maybe you're that overachiever who is still doing your regular HIIT training class at noon in the middle of July in the sweltering heat, wondering, why do I feel like I was just hit by a truck for the next 3 days? Here's the thing nobody talks about. Your thyroid and your summer workouts have a complicated relationship, and today we're going to fix it once and for all. Why is the heat of summer combined with exercise a thyroid disaster? Let's get real, ladies, about what's going on inside your body when you exercise in the heat with Hashimoto's. First, your thyroid is already working overtime to regulate your metabolism. And when you add the stress of heat on top of that, it's like asking someone who's already juggling flaming torches to also ride a unicycle. Something's gotta give. When you exercise in high temperatures, your body has to work double to cool you down. That means your heart rate spikes higher than it normally would in cooler weather. Your stress hormones can spike higher. Hello, cortisol. And your already sensitive adrenals start to wave those white flags like they are calling out for help. I had a woman who's a one-on-one client in my root cause functional medicine practice move from Minnesota to Arizona, and she could not figure out why her energy was crashing after the move. She was still trying to do some outdoor walks, some outdoor runs, HIIT training, and here's where it gets interesting. And this is especially for my ladies in places like Arizona, Texas, Florida, when it's 110 degrees out, getting those 8 to 10,000 steps becomes what feels like impossible during daylight hours. So what do most women do? They either skip their movement entirely or they try to cram it in into the evening, which then messes up their cortisol, their melatonin production, and then they go to lay down feeling tired and wired, disrupting their sleep and recovery. So let me break down first what's actually happening in your body, because this isn't just about being heat sensitive. A lot of us Hashi ladies can be more histamine sensitive, which then heat can affect our histamine response. But even without a histamine response, why are we with Hashimoto's more heat sensitive? When you exercise in high heat with Hashimoto's, several things happen. There is a disruption of cortisol. Heat is a stressor. Exercise is a stressor. Autoimmune conditions already put more stress on the body. This trifecta of heat, exercise, and stress can send your cortisol higher, which can then directly suppress your thyroid function and increase inflammation. So one is cortisol spiking. Number two, dehydration. We lose electrolytes faster in the heat. And guess what your thyroid needs to function properly? Proper hydration and mineral balance. When you're dehydrated, your T4 and T3 conversion can get sluggish. So hydration is a non-negotiable. Adding some electrolytes while you're working out and after helps immensely. The heat can rob your recovery. So your body uses more energy to cool down and recover from the stress of heat, which now leaves less energy for actual muscle recovery and thyroid hormone production. So recovery is getting robbed when we are working out in heat. Sleep disruption. If you're exercising late, like trying to get your steps in once the sun goes down, and the sun's going down at like 9:30, and you're trying to exercise to avoid the heat, your core body temperature stays elevated when it should be dropping for sleep. And poor sleep can lead to poor thyroid function and on of this vicious cycle that can totally tank our energy. So it's not that your thyroid does not love working out. We know it does, especially all the ladies inside Thyroid Strong. But if exercise is a stressor, heat is a stressor, and we are adding more load to the body, now the body can feel like it's burning the candle at both ends. So how do we make a thyroid-friendly summer workout exercise plan? Here's how we are going to address this. And I promise these strategies work whether you are in Arizona or Miami. Strategy number one, timing is everything. Morning movement, ideally before 9 a.m., or maybe it's closer to 7 p.m. I've been getting afternoon evening walks after dinner around 7:30. If you're in a hot climate, this is a non-negotiable. Your cortisol naturally peaks in the morning. Think of cortisol like the sun. It peaks in the morning to get you moving and getting out of bed, and then it goes on as the day progresses. And into the afternoon, melatonin starts to come up. Think of melatonin like the moon. So cortisol is like the sun, Melatonin is like the moon. So we know that cortisol is a stress hormone. We know that working out activates can spike our cortisol. So we would want our cortisol curve and our exercise from our spiking our cortisol to match each other. So in the morning, maybe it's an early morning walk. Maybe you set your alarm a little bit extra, maybe half an hour up in the morning, and you're going for a walk or you're getting your workout in the cool of the morning. Cortisol naturally peaks in the morning. So use that to your advantage by having your exercise also help naturally spike your cortisol in the morning. So that Arizona client that was in Minnesota, we switched her workouts to morning strength training. And her energy improved dramatically because her cortisol curve was matching her natural circadian rhythm. Okay, how do you get those steps in? Getting 10,000 steps all in a row and then sitting on the couch, probably not the best strategy. So strategy number two, are there indoor alternatives that do not suck? Walking pads. I love my walking pad. I'll drop the link in the show notes, walkingpad.com. And in an hour, we'll get like 5,000 steps on my walking pad alone. Mall walking, right? I used to live in Michigan, suburbia. Everyone used to drive to the mall and go walk in the mall. So that could be a strategy. Yes. It's probably making a comeback. Strength training and air conditioning. This is where you get the most bang for your buck by feeding your muscle tissue, by lifting weights, and eating dietary protein. So maybe instead of going outside and getting your walk, maybe you save those steps for indoors and you pair it with strength training, okay? So indoor alternatives that do not suck. Strategy number three, you modify your intensity. Maybe summertime is not a time for, can I get my heaviest deadlift ever? Yes, you should have progressive overload week over week, month over month, but maybe adjusting your workouts from maybe it's high intensity interval training to a lower intensity, focusing on consistency. So thinking about hitting 70% of your effort versus maybe max all out effort or 90%. Lower intensity could just look like lower reps, but you add on an extra set. So you're still getting the volume. So instead of three sets of eight, you're doing four sets of five. Also, to do that, picking up a heavier weight, taking longer rest breaks. Ladies, if you've never taken a 90-second to 3-minute rest break, it will change your life and you'll be like, wow, this is a lot of time. Strategy number four, hydration. You could start hydration the night before. Not so much that you're waking up and peeing all night, but starting the afternoon before, adding sea salt or some electrolytes to your water, drinking that before your workout, during your workout, and after. Post-workout, coconut water would be a natural electrolyte. Still has sugar, but also a good source of electrolytes, or you could just have an electrolyte drink. I've been currently playing with Beam Minerals or Element. Practical steps. We just gave them. Here's exactly what you're going to do this week. This week's action plan. Audit your current routine. Look at where you're exercising. How do you feel the next 24 to 48 hours afterwards? Do you feel wiped out? Time to adjust. If you feel wiped out, look to moving your workouts earlier in the day, taking them indoors, hydration with electrolytes. If it's above 80 degrees, take it inside, shift your timing. Make your workouts and your steps a non-negotiable, but make them work for you. And for my hot client ladies, aim for maybe 4,000 steps in the morning and 4,000 steps in the evening and fill the gap with some movement throughout the day in air conditioning. Track your recovery, right? So we're talking about metrics here. Rate your energy on a scale 0 to 10 for 3 days after each workout. If you are consistently below a 6, your summer routine needs tweaking, whether it's timing, hydration, recovery, indoor, outdoor situation. Some red flags to look out for. If you're feeling exhausted for more than 24 hours after exercise, if you're having trouble sleeping, specifically after an evening workout, if you have increased joint pain or inflammation, and if your resting heart rate, if you're tracking this, is staying elevated. So for those of us who are in the wintry climates during the winter, summer doesn't have to be the season where your fitness goals go to die. It just requires a little strategic thinking and a lot of self-compassion and creating a plan and executing on it. So just know, your thyroid is not broken. It's just asking you to work with your body instead of against it. Remember that walking pad I mentioned? Drop the link in the show notes. Best investment you'll ever make this summer. They do sales all the time. Next week in our summer survival series, we're talking about vacation bloat and why your gut can go haywire when you travel and what to do about it. It's not just about airplane food, guys. If you are ready to stop guessing and start getting real answers about what your body needs to heal, I'm going to drop a link in the show notes to my one-on-one root cause functional medicine practice. You can book a free discovery call with me, see if we're a good fit. If you're like, oh my God, I'm bloated, or I'm tired all the time and no one's been able to figure it out. We would dig into your specific triggers, your lab work, create a plan that actually works for you and your life. So until next time, ladies, stay strong, stay cool, and remember, progress over perfection always. If you enjoyed this episode, rate and review on your favorite podcast platform, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. All right, ladies, I'll see you next week.